Shop the Sherwin-Williams Super Sale and get 40% off paints and stains September 19th through the 24th. With prices starting at $29.39, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
If everything completely goes away, how do you want to be remembered?
I mean, if I die?
Everything just goes away. How would you, if you could be associated with one thing, how would you want to be remembered?
I want to be remembered for courage for my faith. That would be the most important thing. Most important thing is my faith in my life.
Welcome to Rivera and Reeves, the podcast where we break through the bias, report the news, and occasionally trip over our soapboxes while ranting about the headlines.
Every week, we tackle the biggest stories with sharp analysis, unfiltered honesty, and just enough sarcasm to keep it fun.
So pull up a chair, grab your coffee, and join us as we wade through the spin, because the media is trash and we have zero patience for their nonsense.
Hey, friends, and welcome back to another episode of Rivera and Reeves. I am Sadie, and I'm here with my friend Rachel. Hi, Rachel. Oh, you guys, it's been a rough week, but it's been a particularly rough 24 hours, and I'm going to do my absolute best to keep it together. I'm sure that everyone who is listening is aware of what happened yesterday at Utah Valley University. It was Utah Valley University, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Where Charlie Kirk was assassinated. And he was shot. He succumbed to his injuries a few hours later, or at least that's when we found out. And I don't know, like everyone is real. And I can't say everyone is reeling, but everyone in our circles, ourselves, I'm sure you guys are really kind of trying to figure out what happened. How to process what happened. And so that's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to kind of talk through what happened, what we were experiencing and doing at the moment that we found out the news. And we're also going to cover how it's being reported and our personal opinions as to why these events of rising political violence continue to happen, seem to be increasing. And I will boldly say that they are increasing and coming from the left. Yeah. Do you have anything you want to add there?
Nope. I co-sign all of that.
If I giggle on a few occasions here, it's my coping mechanism. Okay.
That's okay.
I have been up since 4 o'clock this morning.
Mm-hmm.
And I got up last night. I could not fall asleep. My mind was running in circles, thinking about what happened. And then this morning, my eyes opened at 4 a.m. And immediately, it was like I hadn't even fallen asleep. I was back exactly where I was before I dozed off. I felt like I didn't even like skip a beat.
Right. It's like I woke up and remembered
what happened.
And I had a bad night's sleep. I couldn't turn my brain off last night when I went to sleep. I just kept thinking about Charlie Kirk's wife, who obviously is walking through the darkest valley she'll ever walk, losing your husband, losing your best friend. But that even in the midst of that, of course, I'm sure she has help and people surrounding her, but she still has to do normal things because she has children. So she still has to kiss those babies goodnight. She still has to feed them, put them in bed, change their diapers. And so her life is over right now. A part of her life is over. And yet there's that very real part of her that is still going. And she had to somehow handle it. And she's going to have to continue to handle it. I just could not stop thinking about the little babies. And, you know, we all saw pictures of Charlie yesterday, videos of him with his kids. And I was irritated, not irritated, type of the word. I was angry in my pit like in the deepest part of me yesterday. But then watching the videos of his children running to him and him obviously having so much love for his children, that made me rage because of the injustice for them and for anybody who is taken from this earth in such an unnatural way and robbing their families of their life. It's unthinkable what that family's going through, and there's just so few words you can say to kind of, I don't know, there's no understanding this.
No. I woke up this morning and I was kind of trying to, I don't know, like figure out my feelings. Like I consider myself, and I actually said this on my stories yesterday, I consider myself someone who's pretty capable of compartmentalizing things and a pretty stoic individual.
Yeah.
I'm not prone to fluctuations of emotion or irrational emotion. And so yesterday, as I was covering the story, I was making a really strong effort to cover it and not necessarily get myself into it, like how I was feeling and how I was reacting in the moment. And then finally, like there was a moment, I think many of us will stumbled across and went onto social media because I'm always on there. Mm-hmm. And I was assaulted with the most violent image I probably have seen in a really long time.
Yeah. Yeah. When I opened up, the first thing I saw was a story. And I don't think we can minimize how we're already reporting and dealing with so much violence, that I was finishing writing about a story about a girl who had just been murdered and her body dumped over a bridge, right? And I'm writing about that. And that impacts you. You can't just look away with what we do. And I went from that to opening up someone's story and it said, breaking news, shots fired at Charlie Kirk. And immediately my brain went to, because we consume the news, how Charlie Kirk and Van Jones had kind of like a run-in. And I thought it was metaphorical. And I was like, oh, she's going to cover, you know, the Van Jones, Charlie Kirk kind of fight, you know, war of words. And I thought, oh, that's interesting. And then right away, the next one was a video of kids running at a school. And I thought, oh, my gosh, this cannot be happening. And then it unfolded from there. And fortunately, I did not see, I saw one video, but I did not see the more graphic of the two videos. And it's probably the first time in the last 5 years where there's been videos available of these horrible events where I have not watched it. And I just feel like I've been able to avoid it. And I don't want to see it.
You really do not.
Yeah, I don't. And I feel bad. This is when the age of the internet is both helpful in understanding what happens and being able to have accurate information quickly. But this is when it's so tragic, because that video is now available for the rest of however long we have the internet, for his children to see, for his wife to see, for his family members to see. And I think that has got to be so disturbing to know that it exists.
Yeah, I mean, I say I got assaulted because I was just like, scrolling my feed, looking for updates, and I had the autoplay on, and I have shut off the autoplay on my X feed, because lesson learned. It immediately just popped up. I saw it. I knew it was already out there because we had been talking on the back channels that there was some video that was circulating, where it was pretty clear that it would have been a miracle if he would have made it. Mm-hmm. And so it just like popped up in my feed and I immediately like lost it and broke down. And it's, you know, I think for me, and I wrote about this morning, and you know, I took a long time. I continued to report, and finally, like once he was gone, I kind of took a break. And I was really struggling to figure out what my emotions were. And this is today, September 11th. And this might seem like an unfair comparison. But I was 21, 22 years old when September 11th happened, and I was in DC. I was riding the train, and I saw a split second of the plane, and then I also saw the Pentagon in flames from the top level of the parking lot at Pentagon City Mall. And I just remember this is like a very similar feeling, not in that it's the same event, but that you just feel a seismic shift happen all mm-hmm. of a sudden mm-hmm. where there I'm well into my 40s and I've had multiple experiences where you know something has happened and it has drastically changed the world. And I don't think everyone, I know for a fact, not everyone will agree with me when I say this, but this is one of those moments. And I think there are people, and I think, you know, those of you who are listening recognize that and can see that. And I feel like for others, it's going to come with time for them to realize. Yeah. Because as I thought about it this morning, I was really trying to figure out, why is this affecting me so much? Why am I having such a hard time putting my feelings and my thoughts together? And it's because, yes, we have an increasing amount of violence. We have violence in the United States. That's without question. We've had increasing political violence. And there have been moments where it's been where the, you know, people want to point out the violence from the right and the violence from the left. But there is absolutely no question that there has been increasing violence that has been coming from the most radical edges of the left, of the group that has been placated, unfortunately, by our Democrat leaders. And these individuals that are the most radical, that don't even like these Democrats most of the time, mm-hmm. that the Democrats that are placating them, are anti-liberal. They're anti-Western society. Mm-hmm. They feel they have been espousing over and over again that words and speech and disagreement is violence, is erasure, is genocide. They repeat this over and over again. They mobilize together at universities, in these liberal cities, and actively attempt to shut down speech. And if you have a conversation with them, because we see them all the time, they make excuses for an ends justify the means. Your speech is violence, and it is so violent that it justifies the act of violence. Mm-hmm. And Charlie Kirk was doing one of the most American things that you can do. He was on a campus university speaking to young people, having conversations, debating mm-hmm. them, sharing mm-hmm. his faith when the opportunity arose, and vehemently, with an incredible amount of passion, defending the experiment that is the United States of America and defending our Constitution. And I think for me, it is particularly upsetting because it is such a fundamental and normal thing for an American to be doing. Mm-hmm. And it is something that we all have a right to do. And because someone has decided that his words are akin to violence and that he's a fascist and a Nazi, that he deserved to be dead, which he was doing the least fascist thing of all.
Yeah, he was listening.
And that is the irony. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He was letting people insult him. He was debating people. He was opening the minds of young people. And there is no question that his influence for the conservative or for the Republican Party, for conservatism, mm-hmm. has been significant. It has changed the game. It has made yeah. being a Republican, being traditional, being conservative, cool again.
Yeah.
The crowd that was there at the university was humongous.
Well, and the crowd at every one of his gatherings yes. is, and his rallies is enormous. It's largely supportive, and they're excited. They're not just there to hear someone. They're there to participate in this new brand of conservatism. And like you said, he made it cool to be interested in politics when largely a lot of these kids' parents are the ones who disassociated themselves from politics or acted like they were above it or said that it doesn't matter. There's nothing we can do. And he's telling these kids, and lots of them aren't even kids anymore, they're young adults, like, get involved. You need to stand up for what's truth. And you're right. It's an extremely American display. You know, this is exactly what we are to be doing on both sides of the aisle. I welcome it. And to watch the idea that you can do that in our country be destroyed because now people are going to be afraid. So many people, I'm sure, are afraid now in the same measure that so many of us are emboldened now. Like, no, okay, that's it. So many people, I think, are going to go, wait, Charlie has like the best security measures possible. Look what happened to him. Look what happened to President Trump. And I just think that that is such a net loss on so many levels for our country. I don't even know where to start.
No, I think we do want to kind of bring everybody up to date about what we know so far. Right now we're recording. It's 1 o'clock in the afternoon. Yesterday, the president did issue an address from the Oval Office. I have a short portion of it here, and I do want to discuss his address because even though I have a clip of it here, he does say some other things that I feel are worth discussing. But let's listen to the president for a moment.
This is a dark moment for America. Charlie Kirk traveled the nation, joyfully engaging with everyone interested in good faith debate. His mission was to bring young people into the political process, which he did better than anybody ever, to share his love of country and to spread the simple words of common sense. On campuses nationwide, he championed his ideas with courage, logic, humor, and grace. It's long past time for all Americans and the media to confront the fact that violence and murder are the tragic consequence of demonizing those with whom you disagree day after day, year after year, in the most hateful and despicable way possible. For years, those on the radical left have compared wonderful Americans like Charlie to Nazis and the world's worst mass murderers and criminals. This kind of rhetoric is directly responsible for the terrorism that we're seeing in our country today, and it must stop right now.
He's right. We've been talking about it for months, that when you have a media and an algorithm that tells you, especially young people, over and over for over a decade, that Donald Trump, his supporters, his administration, anyone who votes for him is an extremist, is a threat to our country, a threat to democracy, is like Hitler, is like Mussolini, is like a authoritarian, a tyrannical leader. When you tell people that over and over and over again, it becomes truth to them. When you tell them that Donald Trump wants every transgender person dead, or that you have to be afraid to live in our country, or that if you're gay, you're going to be hunted in the streets. This is what's regurgitated by lots of these activists, not even just activists. You know, when you were talking earlier about how this political violence is happening on the extreme part of the left, yes, the actual violence itself is happening from these extreme people that are radical. But what I'm watching that scares me almost as much is that the mainstream part of the party is liking those posts, not denouncing it, not saying these are our people that are doing this. They're not acknowledging it. This is not a fringe movement on the left. When I was looking at my posts yesterday that I had saved from these horrible, I will say it, evil people that are rejoicing and happy that this happened to Charlie Kirk, people on the left are saying, this is fringe. This isn't who we are. There's so many more Democrats that are sad about this than aren't. And I'm saying, look at these posts and look at how many likes they have. Look at how many reposts they have. Look at how many shares. Look at how many responses they have. Hundreds of thousands of people in our country applaud what happened yesterday. And it is not fringe. And people need to be willing to say that. I understand that people are afraid to say that because they think it puts a target on them, or they think also that they're not being kind, and that's not a way to push forward change. But if you are not willing to say what is the truth, then there, what are we doing here? And that's what scares me almost more than the specific acts of violence are the normies that are Democrats that are saying, well, I might not say it, I might not do it, but I'm okay with it.
I'm kind of all right with it. I'm kind of thinking, well, that's not such a bad idea.
Trump is exactly right. He was exactly right in everything he said. This is what happens when you lie to people for years.
Well, and we're not talking about, like, I actually wrote about this in my post this morning about Charlie, that there is a cycle here, or a pipeline, or however you want, whatever analogy you want to use, where it starts maybe in the fringe corners of academia, mm-hmm. colleges, students start to, they want the student vote. And my issue is that the mainstream Democrats, not just Democrat. I am not even to say, like, we saw this happen from the vice president of the United States as she mm-hmm. was running for president. Mm-hmm. She walked out of her home. She stood at a podium and she, in so many cloaked, packaged words, warned Americans that Trump was essentially Hitler. Over and over again, the cornerstone of Biden's campaign. And mm-hmm. the campaigns when Trump was running back in 2015, immediately that he was going to be a dictator, that he's going to be fascist, that he's, you know, Hitler adjacent. You have Crockett, who jokes around and calls him Timu Hitler.
Yeah.
Like, we're talking about mainstream, and the mainstream Democrats in positions of power and influence don't, like, strongly disavow the violence that is coming from their side of the party, which Republicans always do, are always asked to do over and over again. And even when they do, they're asked to do it again.
Yeah.
So I don't even want to hear about that. Okay.
Yeah.
You don't see the media doing that to the Democrats, mm-mm. not questioning them or telling them, like, you know, maybe you should, you know why? Because they agree with them.
Yeah.
And that's why they don't question it.
Because in the back of their mind, that's exactly. why they all preface what it made me sick too in the last, we're just going to do this now. The thing that bothered me in the last 18 hours that I really have to get off my chest is from the same people who tell us to shut up when a shooting happens and stop saying thoughts and prayers, okay? They parrot that to us, that the way we process is unacceptable. These are the same people, every single post from a Democrat politician, influencer, political commentator yesterday was, I didn't agree with him, but political violence has no place in our country. Or, I didn't see eye to eye with Charlie, but we shouldn't shoot people.
Political violence has no place in our country.
When people say no more thoughts and prayers, that's a bad faith argument, because half of our country believes in praying as a means by which to petition to the Almighty God for what is happening. That is a real and good, essential thing to life, but especially to people who have faith. This is what they do. This is how they process. You coming out with your milquetoast thoughts and prayers, it doesn't mean anything, because you hate that. You tell people, we don't want your thoughts and prayers. They don't count. They're bad. We hate them. You come out and denounce someone before you say political violence is bad, because you want a virtue signal to all the people listening to you. I'm not like him. He's the worst. I have to say something. I'm nothing like that guy. But shooting people's bad. This is the packaged tweet I have to send out. And it's disingenuous and it's anti-human. It's like, don't say anything at all, or come out and say, this is horrific and I hate it. And it's on my side a lot. Just do that thing, or say nothing at all. The prepackaged, we don't agree thing. They're only saying it so that they don't get hate mail in the comments. That's the only reason.
Or so politically they can protect themselves. That's why they're doing it.
And it's
now
gross.
The only honest, which I still have my issues, but the only genuine and honest response that I read was from Gavin Newsom. Believe it or not. And then I go and I see Tim Walz has posted nothing. I went and I checked this morning and he's,
I mean, has Obama has any,
they've all, yeah, Obama has, Biden has, but they've all given that same placation.
Yeah. Yeah. They have to. That's all they know how to say.
Same placation and just kind of like, and now when I woke up this morning, so after the president's address, in addition to what we just heard that I played for you guys, he goes on and he talks about how there are organizations that are funding this activism, this harassing of ICE agents, the protests that, you know, will escalate into violence. Mm-hmm. Like there are organizations that are out there funding to create like this obstruction or an organizing.
Well, we were talking about during the No Kings protests. So Soros funded, Chinese funded and backed. They want to foment violence. That's just, it's not a theory. It's a fact. And he's right.
And that's what he brought up. He brought up in that speech, you know, the willingness to investigate anyone who is funding any type of violent activism. Mm-hmm. And when I woke up this morning, the narrative that I was hearing or reading, I should say, because it's only the voices in my head, that I was reading on X they went something like this. Trump could have taken this moment to unify the country, and instead he's made an enemy out of his opposition. And I would say I adamantly disagree with that.
No, they've made themselves the enemy by the way that they have handled this and every other act of political violence.
And it's not just that, but I'm like, good for him for actually saying what is true. Mm-hmm. You may not like to hear it and it might hurt your feelings and you might be offended by it. And maybe, you know what, sit in it and let it make you feel uncomfortable because he is actually saying the truth. He is saying truthful things. Mm-hmm. And I think finally, that's one of the strengths of Trump. And also one of the things that people get really upset about him is that he's not up there playing like Joe Biden, placating and saying the bare minimum of what is required, and also at the same time being sure to point the finger at the right person. Do you understand what I'm saying? Where he's like placating.
What has placating gotten us? Nothing. Nothing will be solved. Nothing will be fixed. Nothing will change if we continue to try and be winsome about this. And we keep trying to make people feel good by backing down and saying nothing and being nice and timid. And I'm not calling for people to, like, you know, start a new American revolution. No. What I'm saying is the revolution needs to be able to speak truth. And people are nervous and they're scared about that because look what happens. They hate it. People hate truth. You only silence someone if what they say is threatening, and not in a violence way, but it's threatening to you and your ideology, because that strikes at the core of who God made us. And what's revolutionary right now are people who are going to go, nope, I'm not backing down and I'm going to say the thing. And there's a segment of conservatives who think that right now the time is to de-escalate and not make this political and not talk about.
But what does it mean? Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
What does it mean to de-escalate?
That's exactly what they mean. They mean we would seem bad and wrong and not kind and not Christian if we don't talk about what is actually truth. And I think that they do feel like now is not the time to. They almost view speaking out and speaking clearly and truthfully and with a loud voice as violence themselves. There is that segment who's like,
conditioned by what they've been berated with from the left for over a decade.
Yes. And what they are not understanding is that you don't have to be a violent loudmouth in order to be someone who speaks out boldly and clearly and is heard. And also, that speaking truth is the kindest thing you can do. And so if we want culture to change and shift, we have to continue messaging what we, especially what Christians believe to be true. What we know inside of us deep down is actually the solution. But since we've been told, stop with your thoughts and prayers, stop talking, not everybody's going to become a Christian. Not everybody wants to hear your zealotry for the Bible and scripture. Stop it. We think we have to divorce the two, and we don't. Charlie didn't. And look at how effective he was. That was the undergirding for every single thing he believed. And he continued and he continued and he continued. And now people are saying, now's not the time to make it political. Well, let me tell you something. The truth is political. The truth is political. And it's been made political. The same people who are telling you to be quiet and are telling you that this is okay. The reason that they think Charlie Kirk was an extremist and a radical, and that's what I'm hearing even from liberal, like Christians, they say it because, well, these are the same people who believe that boys can become girls and that men can have babies because they themselves have been so radicalized in their thinking. There is an alternate reality. And so, of course, someone like Charlie Kirk, who says, no, I'm sorry, we can't defy biology. We have to observe the world around us and what is biological fact and truth. Of course, that's going to seem radical when you've chosen your own way and to accept something that is not based in factual data or reality at all. And I'm sure we'll get to this and why I feel like you're right, that this is another moment that's going to be remembered. But I have real fear about what happens next. I am not that person. Usually I am very optimistic and hopeful and happy clappy. Ask Masadi, it drives her crazy. But this is a moment where
I'm the same. I know exactly. I don't even, it's like you don't even have the words, but mm-hmm. I know exactly what you are trying to say.
Yeah.
Like and that's one of the things, like when I said earlier, where I woke up this morning and I feel like almost like the day after, like I feel like mm-hmm. this is the day after, but it's a yeah. new day. It's mm-hmm. it's a new America. Like something has significantly shifted.
Yeah.
And we've had significant shifts like 9/11, COVID. I can probably think of another
one. COVID was like a slow creep. And yeah. all of a sudden you're sitting there a year later going, oh my gosh, I don't even recognize anything. What the heck happened? And now 5 years later, you're like, oh yeah, there was a fundamental shift that happened starting in the first like 3 months. That changed the world and it changed America. But yesterday happened like that.
Yes.
And you could feel that shift within. I sat here at this desk crying and my husband was texting me and my daughter was texting me going, Mom, what? And I can usually gauge the severity of something by how my husband reacts. He's very much like you. I think I've seen him cry like only a few times in the 30 years I've known him. He doesn't get worked up and he doesn't overreact about anything. And usually he's like, just give it time. Just yeah. give it time. And he was the one yesterday that texted and said, my blood's boiling right now. He's like, this is evil and this is not good. And when he responds like that, I'm like, whoa, okay. He's right. Something is off and we're on the precipice of something and it can go a lot of different ways.
It can go either way, which I actually said that this morning. I said, you know, I actually read, and I made this comparison too, and then I read it. Ben Shapiro wrote an opinion piece for the Free Press.
Oh, for the Free Press. It was great.
Yeah, it was really good. And he brings up like the 60s and 70s, the violence that we saw, the rise of the violence in the 60s and 70s.
Yes.
And that, you know, there is a legitimate question as to like, have we returned to that moment or to yeah. that time? But that time is, for me personally, I can say this likely yes. And also this is so much more scary because yes. of the way social media and information is disseminated and how much more quickly things can progress. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like we can just go from think of the news cycle. You go from one day to the next and yeah. you're just running like a hamster in a wheel through this news cycle. And I just don't, I don't know what is coming. I can't predict, like you usually you go like, well, you know, look at history before and you can kind of give a prediction of how things are going to progress. Yeah. And I have an immense amount of faith in this country and our republic and the strength of our country, and a belief that even if you're an American who isn't a believer, so to speak, mm-hmm. or isn't a Christian, I think inherently Americans tend to pray. Mm-hmm. And so I have a lot of faith in the power of those two things. And mm-hmm. my hope is that, like, yeah, it's maybe going to suck for a little while, but like if it's reflective of what this happened in the 60s and 70s, and yeah, it sucked, and I'm afraid that it's probably going to suck a little bit more this time. In the end, there was a really seismic reaction to that violence and that activism and that, you know what I mean? Like the bombings and the assassinations and the far left policies, along with the far right policies at the time too. Like the reason, JFK, or, I don't know about JFK, but the reason that many believed that they were assassinated at the time was because of the civil rights movement. Uh-huh. You know, and so my hope is that we will, that in the time that we're in, we are in a path that is strongly objecting to this far left activism and violence. And so my hope is that we're going to continue that way without violent retaliation. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I definitely think without violent retaliation. I don't believe that the Republican Party is capable like that on a large scale. I just don't.
No, I don't. I don't think it's in our nature.
Two things about what you said, neither are going to make you feel good. First of all, when you were talking about
because they freak me out or because you don't agree?
No, just because I'm going to go against my normal positivity and just tell you what I'm exactly thinking right now. First of all, is the part we can't. I've written posts about it. I've always compared right now to the 60s and 70s. That is the most recent time when there was such turmoil in our country on so many levels. You had the feminist movement, all these assassinations, Vietnam War, campus unrest. People were diverging from their families similarly when it came to Vietnam as it did with COVID recently. And there was a lot of infighting, just so many changes all at once. It was crazy. Civil rights movement, Supreme Court cases, just it was crazy. And I often go, see, we've been here before. Things have been nuts. Things have felt crazy. Things have felt unsafe. Things have felt like they're not going to improve. I think the reason that I feel like right now is even more tenuous, more dangerous, is because we have little computers in our hands and whole generations are being raised with groupthink and they're being told what to think. So where you had kids who were rebelling against their parents and like going off to Woodstock, or like kids that went off to serve in Vietnam, and then some who were like, I'm going to be a conscientious
objector or whatever.
Objector, and I'm not going to. And whole families would split and get so mad. People were forced to actually like think about issues on their own, come to their own conclusions, talk with other people. We weren't fed a steady diet of this is what you're supposed to think because of this person or that person. We weren't fed an algorithm that reinforces sometimes violent and horrible rhetoric. And I feel like that's raising new generations, that algorithm that helps kids feast on really unhealthy messaging and horrible ideas and disinformation. And then secondly, it's so funny you bring that up, and it's really weird that this person contacted me. But the day before this happened with Charlie Kirk, a gal messaged me in my DMs and was just like, I'm a boomer. I went through the 60s and the 70s. That's when I was growing up. And it was a really hard time. Our family went through a lot of stuff. We lost family members in Vietnam. It was just horrible. She's like, and I want to let you know, Rachel, that right now is way worse than that. And she's not the first person that I've heard that from who's messaged me and been like, hey, you wrote about the 60s and kind of putting them together. And I just thought they always echo it. They're like, now is worse. And that could be just because right now is right now and they're sitting in this moment and it's unfamiliar to them because like technology wasn't a thing then and it is now. And but I've heard that from probably half dozen to a dozen people over the last year, like it's scarier now. It's always that it's more frightening now. And I don't know what to do with that because that must have been a crazy time to be alive. When I talk to people, mostly boomers, and I'm like, hey, what was that like? Like there were four famous leaders who were assassinated like within
two years.
And, like, yeah.
Yeah.
But like in the span of like two or three years, just a whole bunch of people just shot in public. Like, what? And then you had a war and then you had, you know, just a lot happening. And they're like, yeah, it was pretty bad. I'm like, what? Like, and they're like, it's worse now.
You're like, oh, thanks.
But I want to ask them why. And sometimes they can't even really explain it. They're like, it's just a feeling. And I think it's a feeling you and I talk about a lot that we have. It's like a pit in your stomach and you don't know why, because you're still going on and living your life.
I mean,
but something doesn't sit right.
You know, during those times, there was a great distrust in the institutions and we have that now.
Yeah.
But I think one of the things is that we see that fight play out nonstop.
Yes.
It's nonstop. Like if you're on your phone, if you pick up your phone, that fight is going on nonstop. You know, before it's like, yeah, you would see protests or happen across the country, you know, something.
Or there'd
happened,
be a story on the nighttime news, like
one story. And you wouldn't hear about it exactly until like you sat down to dinner or something like that. And now it's like all that, like you get assaulted by the most horrible video I've seen in my adult life.
Yeah.
You know, I'm in this business. Like I'm part in my, and then you go like, am I part of the problem?
Right. Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I really try not to be. My intent is not to be part of the problem. My intent is to inform so people don't get caught, especially don't get caught on the back foot. And also so they actually have
information
because the way the information comes right now, especially if you're dependent on the legacy media,
well,
you can't trust it.
No, I don't think the problem is not people that are sitting here going, hey, we're trying to get you information and tell you the truth. And because that's important for you to be equipped with that. People say that Charlie was part of the problem. They say he is the problem.
No.
People are coming out today saying, you know,
that's
what did he expect?
So cowardly.
What did he expect? He comes out and he talks about, oh, I don't like issues.
Actually, you know what? Since you mentioned that.
Oh, I know what you're going to bring up.
At the peak of all of this, like this is breaking news. Okay.
Yeah, yesterday.
Being reported yesterday. Mm-hmm. MSNBC has Kathy Turr, I think is her last name, anchoring her afternoon show. And I have a compilation of not just her reporting, but the guests that were on at the time that were finding out that Charlie Kirk has been shot.
Mm-mm.
Let me play it here.
In which a shooting like this happens.
Yeah, and again, I emphasize what you just emphasized. We don't know any of the full details of this. That we don't know if this was a supporter shooting their gun off in celebration, or so we have no idea.
What was just said, he's been one of the most divisive, especially divisive younger figures in this, who is constantly sort of pushing this sort of hate speech or sort of aimed at certain groups. And I always go back to hateful thoughts lead to hateful words.
People are really upset and they start lashing out online and they start blaming others for what led up to this. I mean, we see it when Democrats are targeted. We see it when Republicans are targeted. And we're seeing it with this. Anna Paulina Luna, who's a representative from Florida, has put this out on X. She's blaming the Democrats. She's blaming the rhetoric the Democrats use, calling Republicans fascist. She's saying, you are the hate. If you're in the FBI field office and you see this sort of stuff bubbling up online, how worried do you get about somebody taking up the cause of Charlie Kirk? And lashing out on somebody who's seen as a Democrat or somebody who is a Democrat.
Well,
the good part has been shot.
I mean, the good part, though, is that everybody can see right through that. And yeah, they're like, okay, get out of here. Like, I saw so many calls
yesterday.
By the
way, before you move on, Mike Dowd, the guy that was like, you know, evil axe, fired. Yeah. He's gone.
Good.
I also think that Kathy Turr should be fired, by the
way. Of course, for not even just saying like, well, maybe.
Yeah.
But I saw so many calls for people yesterday, even like middle of the road libertarian types who were like, MSNBC should not even be funded anymore. They should not be on the air. Like, this is gross even for them. So, yeah. I mean, that restored a minuscule amount of faith in, like, humanity. But fortunately, most people, even Democrats, like, could go, why would you say that right then? Like, I think that if I had to guess, those types of people feel like in that moment, oh, dang, oh, dang, oh, dang, they're coming for us now. The Republicans are going to attack us now because someone just assassinated and murdered Charlie Kirk. We've got to say something. We've got to protect ourselves or say something because this is going to get really, really, really big. And they almost jump the shark. Like, they say the most heinous things right out of the gate. It's like, bro.
Well, I mean, the worst that I saw was, and now this isn't legacy media. This is like leftist media. Are you familiar with the New Republic or Occupy Democrats?
I mean, I think I followed Occupy Democrats on Twitter a long time ago, but.
So these are from, the New Republic, and it's an opinion, but it opens with MAGA troll Charlie Kirk shot during speaking event at university. And then Occupy Democrats, and this is
disgusting.
A post, I think they shared on their social media and I found on their stories. It says, Charlie Kirk spent his entire life disparaging immigrants, disrespecting women, and blaming Black folks, only to get shot in one of the whitest places on earth.
Absolutely disgusting.
And then,
also false. Like, he doesn't do any of those things, but okay.
I know.
We're just
and
saying
then another
stuff
one,
now.
This is a clip from, I don't know if you're familiar with the publication Jezebel. They were very popular in the early 2000s. It's like a women's rights, you know.
Yeah, they were trying to be like Miss Magazine, but
yeah,
like,
exactly. So they, like, I think it was like 2 days ago or 2 days before he was shot, they did an article where they called, or they said, we hired some witches on Etsy to put a hex on Charlie Kirk.
Wow.
And now, obviously, he has now since passed. And so they did an editor's note. And it says, this story was published on September 8th. Jezebel condemns the shooting of Charlie Kirk in the strongest possible terms. We do not endorse, encourage, or excuse political violence of any kind.
We don't excuse it, but we also put a curse on him. So
yeah, it's like, so but we also were like hex on, they hired Etsy witches, hex on
First
Charlie
of all,
Kirk.
I didn't know there were Etsy witches. Second of all,
I didn't know either.
These that are non-thinking people.
Like, that was absolute news to me. Now,
so
one of the things that I saw that was, I thought, kind of hopeful, mm-hmm. I guess, or not, I don't know if it's hopeful, but like, it was good. Ezra Klein did an opinion piece in the New York Times, and Charlie Kirk was practicing politics the right way. Now, Ezra Klein, I do not like this dude. I find this guy really annoying. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to be straight honest, but he, you know, he wrote this opinion piece, and this is a post by Steve McGuire, who has excerpts on this piece. And one of the things he says is that you can dislike much of what Kirk believed, and the following statement is true. Kirk was practicing politics in exactly the right way. He was showing up to campuses and talking with anyone who would talk to him. He was one of the era's most effective practitioners of persuasion. When the left thought its hold on the hearts and the minds of college students was nearly absolute, Kirk showed up again and again to break it. Dang, damn it. Slowly then, all at once, he did. College-age voters shifted sharply right in the 2024 election. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. And that in particular, the way, you know, that's what he was doing, and the fact that he died doing what he loved, but also doing one of the most American things possible is just, I think there are two things that'll set me off: that and thinking too much about, I hate to say too much, but to think about Erica and those two small children is just, like, to me is devastating.
Yeah.
Now I want to give everybody an update of what we have known so far. Is almost 2 o'clock. Early this morning, not early this morning, but earlier today, there was a press conference held where they provided an update on what they had since discovered. Now, remember yesterday, it was announced that they had a suspect, and then the suspect was released. The initial suspect, which I think a lot of people saw, was this older gentleman. He was like a known agitator, protester, kind of a kooky guy. And I guess he immediately started saying, like, he did it. And so he was held, but then he was released. Then they had somebody else who was also released as a person of interest. Now, this morning, there was a press conference. There was a lot more information revealed during that press conference. And then there also some independent journalism stepped in. But let's do the presser first.
Through all that work last night, we were able to make a few breakthroughs. We were able to track the movements of the shooter. Starting at 11:52 a.m., the subject arrived on campus, shortly away from campus. We have tracked his movements onto the campus, through the stairwells, up to the roof, across the roof to a shooting location. After the shooting, we were able to track his movements as he moved to the other side of the building, jumped off of the building, and fled off of the campus and into a neighborhood. Our investigators have worked through those neighborhoods, contacting anybody they can with doorbell cameras, witnesses, and have thoroughly worked through those communities, trying to identify any leads. We do have good video footage of this individual. We are not going to release that at this time. We are working through some technologies and some ways to identify this individual. If we are unsuccessful, we will reach out to you as the media, and we will push that publicly to help us identify them. But we are confident in our abilities right now, and we would like to move forward in a manner that keeps everyone safe and moves this process appropriately.
This morning, I can tell you that we have recovered what we believe is the weapon that was used in yesterday's shooting. It is a high-powered bolt-action rifle. That rifle was recovered in a wooded area where the shooter had fled. So the FBI laboratory will be analyzing this weapon. Investigators have also collected footwear impression, a palm print, and forearm imprints for analysis. Now, I understand there are a lot of questions about motive. I assure you that all leads, tips, and tips are being fully investigated. As of this morning, we have received more than 130 tips. We thank the community for that.
So that was the press conference this morning. And before that press conference, actually, Steven Crowder had gotten an email. He reported that it was an email from an ATF officer, and it was a bulletin that had been put out by the ATF. And in that bulletin, much that is mentioned in that bulletin, which I'm putting up here, but is really hard to read, was confirmed by what was said during that press conference. However, one of the things that was not mentioned was that, and this is the quote, all cartridges have been engraved, have engraved wording on them expressing transgender and anti-fascist ideology. So that particular detail was not mentioned in the press conference. However, the rifle going into the woods, every other detail that they mentioned was also in this bulletin.
Yeah.
And then I think after the press conference, the Washington
later.
Journal.
No, Wall Street Journal.
Wall Street Journal. Okay. Yeah. What did I say? Washington Journal.
Washington. I mean, probably there's something out there called that. But
the Wall Street Journal confirmed those details and also reported on the trans
writings and anti-fascist writings on, I believe, the both the rifle and the the magazines and the ammunition. Regardless, I think it was on both. I think it was on the ammunition and on the rifle.
Did you see how CNN reported it?
Yeah,
they said it was.
I did. Hold on a second. I think I got.
It was probably the first time I'd laughed in the day. I was like,
So the Wall Street Journal gave their headline, which was, I should have pulled up the Wall Street Journal's headline too, but it was ammunition and Kirk shooting engraved with transgender anti-fascist ideology. Mm-hmm. Then CNN steps in and goes, federal officials probe rifle and ammo scrawled with cultural phrases after Charlie Kirk killing.
A range of phrases related to cultural issues were found scrawled. I mean, give me a break, guys. Come on.
I cannot. And then also, I just want to point out, I don't know why. Look, I don't want to be. Yeah, I am. I'm going to be the word police. This man was assassinated. And it says activist Charlie Kirk was murdered on Wednesday. Yeah, he was murdered. He was also assassinated.
It was a political assassination. Just say what it is.
Correct. And I think that to me is so infuriating. Overnight, you know, before this particular information had come out. And frankly, the fact that, you know, it hasn't been confirmed yet.
Yeah.
I don't even know how to express how irritated I was getting every time. I was like, well, we don't know why it happened. I'm like, you're going to tell me that the biggest conservative Republican, influencer / political
activist.
Organizer.
Yeah, organizer, everything.
Who is sitting at the opening event of the American Comeback Tour, I guarantee you, strategically set up in preparation for the midterms to speak to students and dialogue with students, gets shot with one bullet.
I know why it happened.
A person across the roof and they're like, man, I have no idea why this happened. Get out. Yeah. Get out.
Yes. I completely agree. And now they have released a picture of who they think the alleged suspect is. It's been blasted already about an hour and a half ago. It was released. Two blurry shots, but enough for some people to start locating
maybe
him.
Maybe identify him. It looks like he was wearing a shirt that was
with
like an
American
old Charlie
flag.
Kirk. Yeah. Well, it looks like it was an old shirt from like some Charlie Kirk merchandise.
Okay.
And he, in the photo, he has that shirt on. It's black, long sleeves, sunglasses, a hat. It looks like a man. Looks like a dude. But, you know, I guess if this is a trans issue, it could be a female. It looks like a guy.
Yeah.
The images, you can find them. They're all over social media right now. Actually, those images went up right before we started this recording. So I don't have them here to share with you guys. But go look for them and see if you can identify this person and share it to see if somebody else can identify this person. Because this guy. And can I just also, there's a lot. Do I want to get into this? I don't necessarily want to get into it. Because I am annoyed also. Okay. I'm annoyed with people that are like convinced that this is like some CIA black, some like op to create and foment a
division
war
in the
or
country.
Something,
yeah.
And division
I've seen
in the
that
country.
From like even some somewhat mainstream conservative voices. And
I'm
like, stop it.
This,
please.
Stop. First of all, there is no evidence of that. Second of all, you're talking as if it is not believable that someone would, and mind you, all the time, I just want to point this out. If you're someone who gets into this mindset, if it's violence and it's someone that it's like perceived by the media or concluded to be from the right, they never reach this conclusion that it's some CIA op or something like that. It's it's usually like if it's something more from possibly violence from the left and it's like, well, that's an op. And I'm like, stop it. Stop it. Yeah. It is completely believable that this is someone who's evil and shot a man while he was practicing one of the fundamental principles of our nation. Freedom of speech.
Yeah. I think when these enormous events happen, people feel out of control and they want an answer to why. And so they will jump to all kinds of conclusions and theories immediately. Mm-hmm. In the absence of answers and information, we go searching on our own. And some things we are just not meant to understand. And some things we're never going to have answers to. And that doesn't mean it's because we're being lied to. I'm not saying that can't happen. I'm not saying it hasn't happened before. I'm simply saying we're 20 hours in. And if you're sitting, you can do whatever you want on your podcast, on your platform. But if you are sitting there and you have already decided from your home in like Missouri that this is being done by the administration because they want another civil war, I would just say maybe
or
put
by
the phone
deep
down.
State or something
yeah,
like
let's
that.
Just
like,
let's put the phone down just for a minute and like, you know, go on a walk or something.
The fall's almost here. Make yourself a pumpkin spice latte and touch grass.
And I'm not saying we can't have theories and everything like that, but I'm saying I feel like we should sit with our feelings for a little bit. I did want to share some news that just came in while we were talking. Jackie Heinrich from Fox says that in Salt Lake City, Utah, the vice president and second lady will meet with Charlie Kirk's family and a number of his close friends. And Charlie's casket, along with his family and friends, will then be flown to Phoenix, Arizona, aboard Air Force Two. And then also the FBI is now offering up to $100,000 for information leading to the arrest of those responsible for Charlie Kirk's fatal shooting. I thought it was interesting that it said to the arrest of those responsible. So perhaps it could be more than one person. I don't know. So that could just be a, you know.
Well, I have heard that speculation that, which I think is probably led to the speculation of this being like an op or something like that, where there were people in the audience that created distractions before or right after the shot went off in order to help the individual get away.
Yeah.
That is all speculation.
Yeah.
We legitimately don't know. What we do know is that a great American, a father at 31 years old, who had two very young children, I think his son just turned a year old, and a young wife, is gone.
Yeah.
And he is gone. And he's gone because he was practicing his First Amendment right of free speech. And he was an effective communicator with the youth, causing a significant and drastic change in our electorate, where the youth vote was favoring to the right.
Because he had ideas.
And
he was able to
discuss
those ideas. Yes. And it's, I think what all of us have to reckon with, especially people in media, is that if it can happen to the president, as it did last year, and if it can happen to Charlie Kirk, these are two men who have arguably some of the best security in the entire world. It really can happen to anybody. And that is a difficult pill to swallow. And what are you going to do with that? Are you going to let it make you live in fear? Because it might not be an assassination attempt, but there are consequences for being bold and saying the thing. And I want people to lean into that boldness, not back up because of what happened yesterday. Because that's what Charlie would tell everybody to do. He would literally say, get your act together, get grounded in your faith. If you don't have that, you have nothing. Take care of your family and speak out for the cause of truth. We can't let fear rule us. And we just need to keep taking those shreds of hope we still have for America, lean into those and lean into the truth that we know and that we have, and keep speaking out.
I completely agree. I'm going to go ahead and wrap us up with that. That was a good period at the end of a very bold statement. So, you guys, I just take the weekend. I know I'm going to, after this and I edit this, I'm going to crash. So love your family. Say a prayer for Charlie's family, and say a prayer for our nation. I'm going to go ahead and that's it. That's all we have for today. Thanks, you guys. Bye.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.